Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of This Anthropological Life. As always, I'm Ryan Collins.
And I'm Adam Gamwell. Today, we're brought to you in collaboration with the American Anthropological Association. We are ecstatic to be part of this new team. The AAA is building a new network of anthropological podcasts, and you know, we are so excited to collaborate with them and to be in sort of the forefront of this new movement of social science-y and anthropological podcasts.
So dig this. The other day, we were talking with some students at Brandeis University on Kindness Day. They just happened to tell us that there was a TED speaker coming that evening and that they were really interested in having a 5-minute short episode with us. And we just couldn't pass up this opportunity. So we met Hannah Brencher, who talked on her project based off of a book called If You Find This Letter, My Journey to Find Purpose Through Hundreds of Letters to Strangers. This is based off of a project that she started about 5 years ago, giving love letters to strangers. And these letters, they were just meant to encourage people, to give them a little aspect of kindness and help them in their day-to-day lives, because she thought that everybody could kind of benefit from this. So you can still find these letters today if you're super lucky, scattered throughout libraries and bookstores across New York City. And she was kind enough not only to do the 5 minutes with us, but to spend an entire 20-minute episode talking about this project.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, we got really lucky with this. It was awesome, you know? And so she has this awesome new book. And then on top of that, she runs an organization now that's called The World Needs More Love Letters, where this has ballooned from not only a book project and a personal project, but into something that spans 60 countries, and they've written over 250,000 letters now. Incredible stuff. Love letters to people around the world, just giving encouragement, just saying, hey, thanks for showing up today. You know, I'm glad that you're here. So, you know, we were kind of wondering, you know, we're here in post-election and there's an incredibly divided opinion about what's happening in the United States right now, across the world, really. And so we thought this was an appropriate episode, you know, and so as Ryan said, we just got really lucky that, you know, we were hoping to talk to Hannah for 5 minutes and she chatted to us for 20. And so this is a totally on-the-fly, unscripted conversation where, you know, Ryan and I planned a few minutes beforehand, but that was about it.
Exactly. So bear with us because this episode is actually recorded on my cell phone. Now, the quality of the sound may not be what we're used to, but the content is so important.
Mm-hmm. It's one of our favorite episodes we've done so far. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this new episode called On Kindness and What the World Needs Now. So I was doing food stuff anyway, and then I was like, I need to have a backup plan in case shepherds don't want to talk to me, which they didn't. And quinoa talks back much more so.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I just, you know, I like superfoods and health food stuff. And like,
I do too. I love superfoods.
Yeah, it's the best, you know.
So good.
Yeah. One of my questions is always like, what is a superfood? You know, what is it doing for us?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a superfood cookbook.
Really?
Yeah.
What, is it called superfood cookbook?
Cool.
It might be something close to that. I think it's like Eat Yourself Smart or something.
Eat Yourself Smart, that's
yeah,
cool.
And it's like all recipes with superfoods.
It's a sociologist, an anthropologist. What does that mean to eat yourself smart?
Yeah, it's like all the foods that are good for your brain, and they're all superfoods.
Interesting.
I like it. It's a good cookbook.
Yeah.
So.
What's your favorite superfood?
Kale.
Okay. I was actually going to say
that without it seeming so basic?
No, but yeah. Kale's
you can
awesome.
You totally say kale.
I love kale. Yeah.
Kale is like
I like bok choy, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm a fan of bok choy.
I love cooking. It's my favorite thing. So,
works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cooking is like it's one of those lost arts. You know, actually, kind of like handwritten letters.
Very true. There you go. Right there, tying it right in.
Yeah. you know. Anyway, so I don't. It depends how much time you want to talk to us or not. Is it cool if we record?
Oh yeah, it's great.
But we're just kind of do this impromptu, sort of.
Okay, so the whole quinoa conversation might be on there.
It might be on there.
If you want it to be there, it can be there.
Yeah,
you know.
Let's
so
do it.
What we'll do, just in terms of in that, like, is we'll send it to you first and say, "Is it cool? Do you like it?"
Okay.
You know, and so.
We really just want to make sure that you're comfortable talking with us and that the subject matter is.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Good for everybody.
Totally.
Solid. Okay. This is our podcast is called This Anthropological Life, and it's just like it takes a very non-academic. Like, we're trying to do public anthropology.
Well, not like entirely non-academic.
No, not non-academic, sorry.
We're trying to engage a public audience.
Right.
Because we're trying to promote the ideas of anthropology and social relatedness and connectiveness, sort of stories that we feel really need to be told right now.
Mm-hmm.
Engaging different cultures, engaging different dynamics with people to really share the types of life experiences that we all get caught up in but don't actually pay attention to sometimes.
Totally.
So we want to bring those stories to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I love it.
So to kick it off, so will you tell us your name?
My name is Hannah Brencher.
Cool. And welcome to Boston, Massachusetts.
Thank you. I'm from Connecticut originally.
Okay.
So
welcome back to the Northeast.
I'm a northerner in a southern world.
Oh, you're in Georgia right now.
Yeah? I'm in Atlanta, yeah. Oh,
okay. How is that versus Connecticut?
I love it. I'll never leave, probably.
How long have you been
from
there?
Texas, so I'm with you. So.
Okay, there you go. Then you understand, yeah.
I'm actually from Atlanta.
You are? Wow. Oh, my gosh. Like, wait, take me back.
Can I go?
I've been there for 2 years now.
Okay.
And I love it. I lived in New York City and I didn't really want to stay in New York City. I wanted a city feel that had more balance. And I met a lot of friends on Twitter from Atlanta and I just like literally packed up my stuff and moved. I'm self-employed. Awesome. And so I was like, I can technically work from anywhere. So I might as well just make this leap. And I fell in love with the city. So.
That's a beautiful thing about it. You know, if you're brave enough to make the step, then like good things come from it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It was definitely hard the first year, I would say, but like I would tell anybody that moves to a new city is like just wait it out, like past the first 8 to 12 months, because that's difficult at any point. Like the first 6 months is like a honeymoon, and then you're like, oh no, I just want to go back to where things are normal. So yeah,
that's nicer than what I've said about Atlanta, because I feel like Atlanta needs to grow on you after a year or so.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like Atlanta is so up and coming.
It's fun. I love it now.
I'm obsessed with it. I'll never leave. I just won't leave. Awesome. But I might leave if I have to leave, but hopefully I don't.
Yeah. I hope not either.
Cool. So you've got a memoir out that's sort of about your adventures doing love letters and sort of the power and like this awesomeness of handwriting and connecting with people that way. And so like we were perusing your website and your blog. I love that you did a blog to the nation yesterday or 2 days ago.
That was so special.
Not blog site, the letter to the nation. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that was a really weird day yesterday. Yeah. A very somber day.
Exactly.
It was hard to put a finger on the emotions or the feelings, but I just noticed a lot of my readers were hurting. Mm. And so I do this thing called a Monday morning email, and it's about like 10,000 people that like get a email at the start of Monday to like pump them up for the week. And so I held back on the Monday morning email this week because I was like, you know, I'm just going to wait until Wednesday. I just feel like I might need it.
Probably a good call.
And I just like literally like went into work yesterday and was like, all that I can do today is just support people and just like love on people. And so I wrote that email and I mailed it out there. And then a lot of people were asking me like, where's a link that I can share it? And so I just put it on my blog and
What do you find? So this is based on the idea. I mean, on your website, I really dug these simple lines. It was like, we don't need a new social network. We don't need another app.
Yeah.
We just need something simple.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get there? Like, that's cool.
You know, I always, ever since I started More Love Letters, I was like, this has to be kept very simple and very minimalist, but at the same time, it needs to be driven through modern communication, through social media. So marrying the two together has worked really well. I don't know, I grew up with like a mother that didn't have a cell phone and like didn't do any sort of texting, social media, or anything. She just got a cell phone for the first time a year ago, and it actually got stolen from her the other day. So she's like, I think I'm done. Like, so I grew up like not knowing where my mom was at all times, because she just was like, no one needed to find me. Like, leave a message on the answering machine. I'll come home later and check it, you know? Like, it's so funny. Me and my friends were watching the movie Pretty Woman, and like it was just like they leave messages on the answering machine and then they just go out about their day, and it's like there's no cell phones or any of that, and I was like, it used to be so much simpler, and now I feel like it is a lot more complex, and yet people are craving simplicity. They're craving pure presence and connection and intention and all of these things that I think are timeless, that I think will never go out of style, but I do think that social media makes it much more difficult to access them.
What do you think, like when
sociology
you,
coming out,
maybe? For sure.
Where is he there, you know? But I'm totally in on the idea of presence here, right? That's really cool.
Because
it's like, you know, we have, I mean, one of my favorite authors think about is like Eckhart Tolle. He's about
love.
Presence, right?
Yes,
I mean, what about yourself, though? Like, I mean, do you draw from ideas of presence from anything? Or like, what does that mean to you?
I don't know. I just think that we are... It's interesting, like when I was in college, which I graduated 5 years ago, I wanted to do my undergraduate research on the digital disconnect, and there was no research out there yet. The research was in process, but you couldn't access any of it. And so now studies are starting to come to the forefront, and still we won't know the ramifications of it for another 15, 20 years at least. But I just felt like the second social media started coming to the forefront, it's like, presence is going out the window. Like, we're all carrying a phone with us at all times. We're all tweeting or building a platform or whatever it is that we do that's taking us away from one another. And social media is a beautiful thing. And, like, it pays my bills, you know? So it's like, I'm never going to be not thankful for the power of social media. But I just think at the same time, like, we're missing one another. And I think that presence for me is just, it's just paying attention to people. Mm-hmm. It's giving people something that I guess we took for granted maybe, like, before all of this technology came into play. And I just think it's like just being here in the moment instead of 10 years in the past, 6 years in the future, wherever you are. And I think that that's not something I master every single day by any means, but I feel like I'm constantly getting that reminder of just, like, just be where your feet are. Just be here now instead of on to the next thing, whatever that looks like.
I'm really intrigued by this idea of presence and connection, and I want to kind of ask you a little bit more on this. Mm-hmm. Because, so Adam and I, we're friends on Facebook, but we're also friends outside of Facebook.
In real life, too?
Yeah.
So, right, in real life. So, this whole notion that we can actually connect with each other outside of these social media areas, it's not new, but it's also sort of shocking for a lot of people who are growing up with us today.
Yeah.
So, for you personally, when you're writing your letters, your love letters to anyone, when does it become necessary for you to sort of insert that connection or to show people that this connection is something that they can connect with, they can latch onto?
As in, like, show them that with the letters or?
Or maybe not necessarily with the letters, but just in any way to bring that connection. What causes you to want to bring that connection to anyone?
I think it's probably, just growing up with my mom being my influence, you know? And my mom, ever since I can remember, has snuck letters into bags for me. And, like, it just went home to visit, like, last week. And I came back and there was a letter slipped into my wallet. And so that's cool. How I grew up. And I guess it was normal for me until I got to college and I realized that, like, no one was getting letters in the mail. Like, no one was, like, writing to one another, and I was so used to doing it with all of my friends. I'm getting married in 30 days, and, like, I don't normally have a countdown. I just know now we're at the 1 month mark as of today. But we're writing handwritten letters to every single guest, and as a way to be like, we want you to know that we took time on you. And I think that's the thing with letter writing, and the thing that we're not doing as much with social media is that, like, it's very easy to send a text and then be done for the day. And I always tell people, like, there's a big difference between investing in someone's life and investigating somebody's life. And if you're going to sit down and write a letter, that means you took time on somebody. Like, you were present with somebody. I think it's more of a time element more than anything, is that, like, real relationships, as you both know probably, like, they take time. They are not just a one and done, a click, a friend request, and now we're best friends. And so the same thing with letter writing. It takes time. It's taken us so much time to write these letters to our guests, but, like, we will be able to know, like, each one of them was thought of, each one of them was chosen, and, like, there's proof of that. So,
if you don't mind me asking, how many guests are you writing letters to?
240.
Wow. Yeah. So impressive.
I've done way more than that. Yeah. But I made the mistake of, like, tweeting right before my first book came out. I was like, I'm writing letters tonight. Whoever wants one, just send me an email. And it was over 200. And so I wrote over 200 within a 2-week span. So the first time that I did it, I wrote over 400 letters. So I can't imagine how many letters I've written to date. So it's just kind of a part of me now. Somebody asked me the other day, like, what's the comparison between what you type and what you handwrite? And I was like, it's probably like 80-20. Like, I handwrite so much more than I type.
Wow.
So even the book, I longhanded the whole thing and then typed it.
That's impressive.
I'm also curious, since you're writing so much, you're really handwriting so much, has your script changed at all?
Not so much, like, not in the last few years. People always tell me it should be a font. I can show it to you. It's wild. It hasn't changed that much. My Y's have definitely gotten bigger. Like, the more I write, they're just, like, swooping like crazy. But it's stayed mostly the same.
Cool. From what I understand, like, the types of letters that you focus on are love letters.
Yes.
Right? What's that about?
You would call it love letter, right?
Your website, I don't know. Your website.
Yeah. And I think,
or you tell me, if it's not, what are they?
Well, I think a love letter is kind of like, I think anything constitutes as a love letter. I don't see them as romantic, like, I don't see it as like romantic, like watching you from the bushes, love letter type thing. I just think that anything that you put your heart into, like, is technically a love letter.
I like that.
But it was also too, like, love letters are so much easier to Google than regular letters.
Oh, yeah. Good point. So what inspired you to, you know, you were placing these around New York City for a while.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you said, okay, I'm going to go put them in the line. Did you pre-choose where you were going to put them?
No, I was just feeling real sad. And I was just in between meetings at the United Nations. That's where I was. I thought I was going to be in human rights. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how this is a different kind of human rights. Like, as Mother Teresa would say, like, mm-hmm. the worst kind of poverty in the Western world is actually loneliness, being unwanted and being uncared for. But I always thought that human rights meant, like, food, education, clean water. But I found myself very defeated after college. Being at the UN, they kind of threw me into a job. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just attending every meeting that I possibly could, and I didn't know what to do with my gaps, my in-between time, so I would end up at coffee shops or in bookstores, and that's when I just started writing the letters and just leaving them in places. So I'd walk into, like, the Barnes Noble at Union Square and, like, leave them in my favorite books, or I would sit in a crowded Starbucks, and I would, like, know that the second I got up, somebody else was going to come take that table, so I would leave a letter there specifically. It was just kind of random. Like, wherever I was, I would leave letters. And then when people were emailing me, asking me to write them letters, some people mailed me letters for me to leave around New York City for them.
Wow.
They're like, I'll probably never get to New York City because it's such a dream city.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so I'm, like, leaving letters of, like, small-town girls in Kentucky, like, all over the place. So, just random.
So what was your inspiration to leave random letters everywhere just for anyone?
I have no idea.
Because it makes me...
this day, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. I think I thought at the time, like, when I was depressed. And so, like, when you're dealing with depression, like, mm-hmm. you kind of have a fog over what you remember about things. But I also was, like, a very much, like, I've always been, like, a hopeless romantic type person. So I thought it was, like, what a romantic thing to leave letters around New York City. So, other than that.
It is pretty romantic. I mean, I'm like,
absolutely.
Right? Like, really sweet. Like,
It just makes me think about Kindness Day, which is today.
I know, right?
And people are leaving sticky notes anywhere they can place them, anywhere to find letters in the same way, but usually just a statement.
Yeah. Well, yeah, these were longer letters. These felt more like diary pages than anything else, but...
Cool. Do you think that there are any letters still floating around in random bookstores that haven't been discovered yet?
I don't know. I hope so. I mean, I hope that there is a day where I get to meet somebody who got one of those first letters. Because at the time, I didn't sign them. I didn't put any kind of way to get back to me, because that wasn't the point. The point was not to build an organization and then have it go viral. It was just... I've never dealt with depression. I don't even know how to call it depression. And so let me just do anything to make me not feel so sad.
Right.
And so that wasn't like, I wasn't charting them. People are like, you're not photocopying them before you leave them? And I'm like, no, just I'm leaving them. I don't know. Cool. I'm trying to get through the day.
Mm-hmm. Cool. It's kind of like a final question. We don't take too much of your time. Like, how did you move from this being sort of a self-cathartic practice into, which obviously had like a bigger cathartic, into making this a movement, which is your work now, your vocation in some level, right?
Yeah. Little by little, piece by piece, not anything I planned for. Once I put the blog post out there telling people I would write to them, I really thought I would do like 10 or 15 letters, but it turned into over 400 of them. And at that point, it was just like, to me, and I hate saying this, but like it was kind of a nuisance. I was just like, oh my gosh, everybody wants to talk about the letters and only the letters. Like people would email me and be like, hey, what's the update on the letters? What's going on with the letters? And so when I got to the 400 letter mark, I was contacted by a reporter at the Wall Street Journal, and they had just interviewed somebody who had gotten a love letter from me, and they wanted to put me in the paper the following week. And I was like, that is a lot of readers. I cannot possibly write all those love letters. And so I just I built a website because of that. And then I watched the website blow up, and I watched it get all of these press hits. We never did a press push at all. And then I did the TED Talk. That was my first speaking engagement ever.
Really?
Was the TED Talk.
Well done.
So
wow,
I'd never been on a stage before to speak, and it was like that went online, it went viral, and then that led to speaking, and that led to quitting my job and making it full time. And it's consistently surprised me all the different things that come from it or the different opportunities. You know, like I worked with like a company, Teleflora, which is the biggest flower provider in the US this past Valentine's Day, and I taught people how to write love letters, and like we made a love letter hotline so that people could write love letters to their loved ones. So there's so many like creative, cool ways to integrate this idea. And so I just follow what's interesting to me. And yeah.
Like a good sociologist, I like this.
Yes, exactly.
So if this is maybe a hard question, but like, if there's a takeaway, if we're going to say, all right, what do we want us to take away from this kind of idea that we have letters, that we have love, that we have connection, presence, we have so many things here. Mm. Like, is there a takeaway you'd want to make sure that somebody gets from?
Well, I think especially like, you know, being Kindness Day, I think that we can very easily, I've seen a lot of people boil down my work to like random acts of kindness. Like I was talking with somebody earlier about how I won the National Random Acts of Kindness Foundation like award in 2013. Oh, cool. And I kind of was like, I don't know if I want to accept this. Like, I don't know if I, because to me, kindness just gets boiled down. And I think kindness, it has to run deeper than that. And it has to be something that we do more than just one day. Like, hopefully this day inspires many more days. And so to me, I just am like, it's not just a random act of kindness to leave a love letter. To me, it is a lifestyle. And I think like, especially with the current state of affairs in our country, like it has to be a love lifestyle. We have to learn to be better to each other. And we've seen a lot of divide in the last few months. And I think that like the only thing that can be out fear is love. And that can't just be a statement, that has to be something we live through action steps. So
I really like that. The whole idea that kindness is a way of life. That is so important right now.
We need it.
Yeah, we do. What the world needs now.
What the world needs now. Cool, Hannah, thank you so much for talking with us.
Of course. Awesome. Yeah, it's been so wonderful. Thank you guys.
Looking forward to talking to you.